If you have a Bible, I invite you to open up to an Old Testament book we don't look at a whole lot, and that's the book of Ezra. If there's people around you that need to look off your Bible, you can do that. If not, then you can also just sit and listen. You'll be hearing it just as the people in Jesus' day heard this Bible, it was read to them. So Ezra is Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. So Psalms is, if you ever, here's a trick that you've ever done. If you ever take your Bible and open it up about halfway, you'll land probably in the book of Psalms. I didn't, though. I landed in Jeremiah. But if you got Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. So it's right in that area. So I'll give you a chance to get there. I need to get there, too. There we go. Should have these marked. Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. We're going to take a look at this, and then we're going to jump to the New Testament a little bit later on. The book of Ezra, it's kind of like a history book where it talks about how the temple at Jerusalem was destroyed, and they needed to go back and rebuild on that temple. And just to let you know, Ezra and the book of Haggai are actually books that happen at the same time period. In fact, we're going to read in a little bit in the book of Ezra, and then all of a sudden the book of Haggai comes in. He's a prophet, and then the book of Ezra finishes up. So we're going to take a look at that and see some of the stuff that's there. Ezra 3, chapter 3, verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So here they are getting ready to build this brand new temple, and the foundation is laid. And before they even continue on with it, they stop and they have kind of a party, and they praise and give thanksgiving to God for what He has done. When I read that, I was actually kind of surprised. Why all the hubbub? Why all the fuss? Why would you want to get so excited about laying down a foundation for the temple? I mean, it's not something that you see. Is that right? You look around here at this church, you cannot see the foundation. You see carpet, you see stage, ceiling, walls, wood. You could walk outside. You really can't see the foundation. So why is this such an important thing? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. It's not to ignore the fact of the walls or the ceilings or the materials that you make this all out of. That's next week's sermon. This week, we're going to be talking about how the foundation is laid and what that foundation is. And have you ever stopped to really think about how certain people in life, whether they have Christ in their life or not, is irrelevant? How a lot of people can handle a lot of things all on their own. Even people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who don't have that foundation, I believe that they can often survive so many things in life rather easily with very little effort because of how they construct themselves. And I have a feeling that the reason why we believe this, we've come into a mindset that says all we have to do is make our walls strong. All that it matters is how we build our walls up. And that's going to determine if we're going to survive life or not. And I think that fallacy came about through the three little pigs. Have you ever stopped to think about it? The three little pigs. The three little pigs is to blame for all of this confusion. Now, I was going to have a little book up here, but I actually found out that I could instead show the video of the three little pigs. It's a short little video, and it's actually, I have a 3.5-year-old son and a 7-month-old son, and my 3.5-year-old, he just loves Blue's Clues. Now, y'all know what Blue's Clues is? If you have kids, you probably know what Blue's Clues is. If you don't have kids, Blue's Clues is this cartoon where there's actually one live person. His name is Steve, and he acts in front of this blue screen. Tremendous actor, I think. And he has all these cartoons, and there's a cartoon dog named Blue. And Blue runs around and gives clues on what Blue wants to do that day. Well, this is at the end of the story, and they just found out that Blue wants to read the story of the three little pigs. So I'm going to show that story to you. Now, it's really interesting because the whole concept of the three little pigs is it depends upon the material that you make your walls out of. If you make it out of straw or you make it out of sticks and the big bad wolf comes, he can knock you over pretty easily. But if you make it out of bricks, if you have a nice, tough outer shell, you can survive the big bad wolf's attack. I would like to see what would happen if during that story of the three little pigs if a California earthquake hit? Now, that'd be a little more exciting, because then I'd wonder if that house with the bricks was actually going to survive. Oftentimes, again, I think we could survive attacks, or we could survive things in life depending upon what we build our walls out of. But when the big stuff hits, what are we going to do? It doesn't matter then, at that point, what our outer shell is going to be. It really depends upon how firm, how strong is your foundation. And that's why I think the foundation is something that is important to talk about. And every building has a solid foundation, or else it wouldn't be able to survive some of those things. Thus also for us, as we build up our spiritual temples dedicated to the glory of God, we start off by looking at then what is that foundation that we are laying, so that we can survive some of those big attacks. Now, chances are you know some of those big attacks. I don't have to list everything for you, but things like you find out you've just been diagnosed that you have cancer, or your teenage daughter is pregnant, or you just had an AIDS scare, or you've been laid off from your job, or someone in your family dies. Now, those are things in life that often rock us to the very core of our being, right down to the foundation. And it is true, there is a difference when I've looked at people and how they handle, let's say, for instance, death. When I watch people that don't have that foundation, when they don't have Christ in their life, when a death happens, everything's fallen apart. Yet those with that foundation, though they are sad, though it's hard, though it's difficult, the temple to the Lord still stands in their life. And in fact, sometimes with those that don't know Christ, that is a perfect opportunity for us as Christians, as temples, to go and talk to them. That's often when most people are most receptive to hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ, is when they have been rocked to the very core of their being. So then, how do we look at the foundation? How is that something that we can strengthen or build upon? Well, I did some research real quickly on the word foundation as it occurs in the Bible. Interestingly enough, it happens 77 times. The word foundation or foundations is found 77 times in the Bible. Most of it in the Old Testament when it talked about a literal temple. But then there are times even later on in the New Testament where it talked more in a metaphorical way. And how is it defined? Well, it starts off by really defining as Christ. Christ is our solid foundation. He is who we build things upon. Romans 15:20, Paul is talking, he says, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." Paul was someone who was really gung-ho for Jesus, and he wanted to go to those people that had never even heard of the man, because he wanted to lay the foundation for them, the foundation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yeah, I'm sure that he would still preach the gospel to those that already known him, but he liked to go to those who didn't know him and Christ, and give them Christ, that solid foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, he's writing again. He says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that is already laid, and that is Jesus Christ." He spells it out perfectly for us, that the foundation starts off with Jesus Christ. And then Ephesians 2:20 talks about how we are a holy priesthood, a holy temple being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So that's where it starts, really. To lay the foundation, it starts with a faith and belief and knowledge of Christ as full and complete Savior, someone who's given us the absolute forgiveness of sins through his death and resurrection. And when we have him as a rock-solid foundation, everything changes. Also, in the Bible, it talks about itself as being the foundation, the Bible being a foundation. 2 Timothy 2:19, "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, 'The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness.'" It's quoting itself as saying, this is a solid foundation. In Hebrews 6:1, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God." So the foundation is the elementary teachings of the Bible, namely, of course, Jesus Christ. So we would say that the foundation starts off with Christ, the apostles, the prophets, the teachings, Jesus as the chief cornerstone, and then, of course, the Bible. Now, yeah, exactly, Bible. Who is that? Man, you are awesome. Dude, that is grand. Now, I wish we could have more of you guys. We got, if you want to say stuff like that during the sermon, I don't mind. A Bible, yeah? Yeah, Bible, yeah, there you go. That's good. No, you don't have to leave or anything. I like him saying all that stuff. No, that's good. No, keep him in here. It gives me excitement. It gives me energy here. Woo! Actually, why don't you bring him up to the front row? Then I'd really get excited. No, you're good. You're good right there. I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but he's good. You don't need to take him out. So as long as you guys don't mind. No, of course not. See, that's perfect. That's perfect. So we start off with the Bible and Jesus Christ being the foundation of our life. Now, it starts there, but that's not where it finally ends up. In fact, when we were talking about this series and a foundation, immediately a passage came to mind from the Bible, from the book of Matthew, and a song came to mind that we used to sing when we were kids. Y'all remember that song? The wise man built his house upon the rock. Everyone, the wise man built his... So the kids can hear you. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came a-tumbling down. Do you know the rest? Here we go. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. Right. And then it goes on to say, the foolish man built his house upon the sand, foolish man built his house upon the sand, and then the rains came tumbling down, rains came down, floods came up, and the house on the sand went splat. Yeah, totally destroyed. That was the first thing that came to mind, and let's take a look at that. That's Matthew chapter 7. If you take a look in your Bible, or if you need to share, or if you just want to sit and listen, Matthew chapter 7 is where we find that particular story. Matthew 7. Starting in verse 24. Now, I need to give you a little bit of background of where this is placed and why this is important, where it's at. If you ever want to know, I think Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is what we would call the Sermon on the Mount. It was kind of the start of Jesus' teaching ministry as an apostle, as a prophet, as the Messiah. And he starts off, Matthew 5, starts off with the Beatitudes. You know those? It's the blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the hungry, blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake, blessed are the peacemakers. And then he goes on through three chapters. It's all one teaching, happened at one time, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Then at the end of Matthew chapter 7, the very last thing that Jesus says in this sermon is this: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, notice first of all that this does not do the three little pigs act. It is not talking about your walls or the things that you put up. It's not discussing that. It's discussing when the rains come and the winds blow and the storms rise, it wants to know where your foundation is at. And that's going to determine whether your house stands or falls, whether your temple is able to survive the California earthquakes. Secondly, I had always heard this scripture passage. We had sung that song as a kid. I remember this completely, but I really never knew what it was trying to say until I went back and I'm reading this over and over again. I'm like, what is Jesus saying to us? It is not, if you notice, simply a knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Did you catch how it went just one step further? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. is like the one who builds it on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and then does not put them into practice is like someone who builds it on the sand. It's not just knowing. It also involves going. It's not just having Christ as our Lord and Savior, but it goes that one step further, that we now have to put all of that into practice. Interesting again that he put this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, I've just explained all this stuff to you. I've just laid it all out the way you're supposed to live your life. And if you hear that, that's great. But then go and do it. Make it a part of your everyday life. Not just knowing, but then also going. And if you go out and you put these into practice, your foundation is going to become stronger and it's going to become more impervious to those elements around it. I had a really good talk with the staff leadership here at Searchlight Ministries this past week. As you know, there are just gobs and gobs of things that have to happen around this place for church to take place. And I was really confused on really kind of what my role was. And finally, the staff kind of looked at me and they said, we know what your role is. We want you to be in praise and worship and prayer and study of God's word so that you can lead us effectively as a godly leader. Now, that might sound, you know, simple to all of you, but that's not how most churches actually do it. I mean, you should see me if I'm sitting in my office reading the scriptures. It looks like I'm really not doing a whole lot. I'm just kind of sitting there. Of course, people are all around constructing this, building that, filling communion trays, mounting TVs. And I'm sitting there in my office reading the Word of God. It's kind of a new concept for me. For 2.5 years as a pastor, I had never really done that because it didn't look very productive. And I had to get over the fact that I need to be in God's Word, not for sermon study, but also for myself as a person, as a temple. And I think what happens is we don't often give pastors that permission, and we often don't give ourselves that permission. Because there are a lot of things to do in the day, isn't it? Your day gets busy pretty fast, and it's hard for you to try and justify sitting down and studying God's Word. But this is what I'd like us to do. I'm gonna see if you can commit this with me, and because I really do believe that the foundation starts with a knowledge of what the scriptures say. If you don't know what the scriptures say, how can you put it into practice, right? So you have to start off with at least reading this stuff and getting a chance to know. And you know what I want us to start off with is let's just read the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not talking right now. I'm talking throughout the week. Start off there, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and I'm going to do it too. I'm going to read that. I'm going to try and read, of course, more because I want to be in study every single day. But let's see if we can commit to just that little bit. And then as time goes on, I'm going to continue to say, well, let's read this now, or let's read this. And we're going to continue to grow and have that foundation become solid. That's the knowing part. Can you commit with me to knowing? And then there's the growing and the going part. Now, I don't know if you guys noticed. Check this out. This is a little It looks like a little sports bottle, but this is actually a communion cup filler upper. Isn't this cool? Yeah, it's got just a little tiny nozzle so that only a little thing of wine comes out. I tried to clean it out because there's just some water in there. I won't try and get on the electrical equipment, Chad. Okay, thank you. Yeah. it's really kind of funny because, yeah, all those little communion cups, you fill them with this. We had actually pondered and considered maybe not to even use communion cups. You could just walk up here and I'll take and drink. And you just go, it'd probably get a little messy, so we decided against that. But this thing takes forever to fill up those cups. Now, Brian has helped me fill up these cups before, but it takes forever to sit there and squirt, squirt. And when you take a look at those communion trays, you're going to notice all those are filled up. Who filled those up? That was me sitting there going, squirt. Squirt. And actually, by the way, take a look at the communion trays when you get there. Oh, they're brand new. My father-in-law built them. Oh, they look so cool. So those are brand new communion trays. It didn't cost us a dime, though. It's really cool. Actually, if you'll notice, I'll even give you a secret. Do you see these holes right here where they put the speakers? It's this wood, and that was where the hole cut it. Aren't we resourceful around here? Anyway, back to this thing. They actually have two things that fill communion things. One of these little squirters, and then another thing where it just kind of, it's hard to, I'll show it to you next week, but you just kind of push a little button, and it squirts out a lot faster. So you go, and you can fill it a whole lot faster. So I was really disappointed when I got this and tried this out. It also makes a mess. It splatters all over the place. So I'm going to take this back this week and exchange it for one of those things. So I went and I found my receipt because I'd bought some other things from Lighthouse Christian Bookstore, and I'd bought this. And as I looked through the receipt, I found out I didn't pay for it. I stole the communion squirter. Now, I didn't realize it at the time, but I had stolen it. See, somehow or another, the lady just didn't see it. It's not like I was like, yeah, this is all this stuff that I didn't take it out like that, but I didn't pay for it. This cost $9.99. Is that just amazing? I think they're ripping me off over there. Yeah, not the way I got it, yeah. There's a five-finger discount. So I stole it. Now, I have a problem because Jesus says you're not supposed to steal. You're not supposed to take things that don't belong to you. It belongs to you when you pay for it. So now I have a problem because a foolish man would say, yeah, I know all that stuff. Yeah, I've heard all the scripture passages, don't steal. But yet if you don't put it into practice, you're building on the sand. Your foundation is bogus. It's not good. And when the storms come, your house might go splat. A wise person is going to be able to say, you know what? I know what happened was, oh man, I know what happened was wrong. I know that this doesn't belong to me. I didn't pay for it. So I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to make a vow that sometime this week, I'm going to take this back to Lighthouse Christian Bookstore. I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to go up to the lady at the front and I'm going to say, I don't have a receipt for this. Well, I have a receipt for this, but it's not listed on there because I didn't pay for it, and I need to pay for it now because someone accidentally forgot to not ring it up. And I'm going to make that vow that I'm going to put into practice that which Jesus says. And I'm going to get a new squirter. I'll show you the squirter next week. And I'd love to have a video camera with me because I know all too often we surprise people. If we start putting our belief system into practice, we are going to surprise a lot of people. They're going to be shocked to find out that, why are you doing that? That just doesn't make sense. Happened again when I was doing a wedding in Laughlin, and my wife and I, we went to a movie theater. It's the first time we'd gone to the movies in who knows how long, and we were watching the movie. It was great. We got out of the movie, and we looked over, and there at the theater, just right next door, was a movie that we had never seen, and it was going to start in 5 minutes. So it was pretty simple. You know, I looked around. No one's looking. So we movie hopped. Can you believe that? We stole from the movie theater by going and watching another show. Now, we were actually very guilty. We felt very guilty afterwards. And I was actually paranoid the whole time watching the movie. Like, they had some special count or some sophisticated way to catch us or something. They didn't. But what we did was the next day, we went and we bought movie tickets for that movie that night. And then we just didn't go and see the movie, thus paying for the thing. We didn't have the guts to go to the manager and say we stole in the movie hop. I'm working on it. My foundation's a little shaky. I'm working on it. I really am. But I want us to see if we can commit to trying to put God's word into practice. Now, that could happen in a number of ways. That could be with forgiving someone that you know you should forgive, but you just can't put it into practice. Maybe now's the time to actually put it in practice and forgive. Maybe now's the time to watch out for the gossip. Maybe now's the time to put away the road rage. Yeah, I'm still working on that. I don't put a fish on my car because otherwise I'm going to cut people off and speed. And people, there goes a Christian speeding down the road. But I'm working on that. I'm working on that, and I want to get better at that. Maybe we need to cut back on our road rage. Maybe we need to look at our thoughts, where they're heading. Maybe we need to say, I need to start putting this stuff into practice. I need to start living what I believe. Because that is laying the foundation, Jesus says. That is what is giving us that solid rock so that when the storms come, we're going to be able to handle it. Now, some of you might be thinking, why do this? Who really cares if I go back and return this? Who really cares if I forgive? Who Who cares if I put this stuff into practice? I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't need to put this stuff into practice. All I need to do is just believe. Well, yeah, but you're missing out on something. Building a strong, solid foundation, putting these into practice is going to do two things. First of all, it's going to help us when the storms come, right? As we just discussed. It's going to help us when things really rock our world to the very core, to the very foundation. And secondly, it's going to open up the blessings of God. That's what the book of Haggai says. If you have a Bible, turn there now. I know we've been kind of jumping around. Go back to the book of Haggai. If you need to look this up later on, you can. Haggai is the third to the last book in the Old Testament. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So Haggai chapter 2. Again, what was happening was this coincides with the book of Ezra. They're rebuilding the temple, and they start with the foundation, and then kind of the book of Haggai gets kind of tossed right in there, and then it continues then with the rest of the book. So Haggai is a really short book. You can read it in just one sitting. It's only two chapters. But Haggai chapter 2, verses 15 through 19. Listen to this. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. Yet from this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation to the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. Isn't that interesting that it was so important that the foundation was laid? Because God says, up until then, you felt kind of short. You felt like you always didn't get stuff. You went to the wine vat and wanted to get 50 gallons. You only got 20. You didn't seem to have all the resources. You go to the ATM machine. You want to pull out 100, but you only got $5 left in your account, right? That's the kind of feeling we get. Sometimes we feel like we're emotionally short. Yeah, I would like to do more, but I'm out. I don't have it all. And God says, you need to start with the right foundation. And what's going to happen when you lay that foundation? And he even talks about how specific, on the 24th day in the ninth month. Well, I say, on the 11th day in the second month, the year 2001, we're going to lay a solid foundation. And now, when we go, we are going to receive blessings. Listen to that again. From this day on, I will bless you. But it starts with the firm foundation, because that which is unseen will strengthen that which is seen.